Message, Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. If you have your Bible, please turn there. If someone near you doesn't have one, please allow them to look on. Sure good to have a nice group of young people here today. Amen? Amen. Matthew chapter 13. Kind of cleared out one side, but praise the Lord. Going to be in verses 45 and 46. This portion of Matthew is called the Parables of the Kingdom. Can't really take time to explain the kingdom in great detail, but I'll tell you a couple of things. If you are saved, if you have received Christ as your Savior, you are part of that kingdom. Amen. Now, that kingdom is not the church. That kingdom is not Israel. That kingdom is the kingdom of heaven. It's also called the kingdom of God. But let's just keep it simple and understand that when he talks about the kingdom, he's talking about, for the sake of simplicity today, he's talking about people that are saved. So that's our kingdom, amen? It's the Lord's kingdom, but we're part of it. And that'll help you a little bit when he talks about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And he gives some illustrations, some parables, the Lord Jesus Christ does in Matthew chapter 13. We're just going to look at one of them. It is a parable about the pearl of great price. Now, there's some things you wouldn't see if you didn't dig a little bit. I'll try and show them to you today. But it has to do with finding something that is so valuable that you're willing to give everything you have in order to obtain it. And I'll just tell you ahead of time, I'll say this again here in a minute, but the person in this parable is a merchant. And a merchant is someone that knows not just what things are worth, but what he can do to get something that's worth even more. In other words, he's going to buy something and maybe later he'd sell it for more. So he understands the value of things. And that'll be key as we look at this. I'll explain that to you in just a minute. But let's stand for the reading of God's Word. That's the most important thing we have here, is the pure Word of God. Amen? Amen. If you're holding a King James Bible, I want you to know you have the very words the Lord Jesus Christ spoke. They are preserved. They are inspired. They have been translated by preservation into the English language. But you are hearing what the Lord said when we read these two verses. And I'll read out loud as you follow along silently. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 45, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this morning for the blessing you are to us. Thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ to die and pay for our sins. Thank you that the Bible says that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to your mercy that you've saved us. Amen. Thank you that we have the Word of God. You promised us in Psalm 12, that the words of the Lord are pure words, and you said that you would keep them from that generation back in the day of David forever. We know that you have promised to keep your word. Thank you that we have it today. Lord, help us to understand the meaning of this parable. Help us to understand it in a way that would convict us and also that would bless us. God, I pray for folks that are not here today. Our hearts are heavy for some that need to be here, and I pray you'd bring them back safely and protect them in the meanwhile. We also pray for those that are ill and can't be here today. We think of the Ball family. We pray you'd care for them. Think of Michelle Sussman. I pray you'd care for her. And others that might not be named right now, but Lord, we just pray you'd keep us all and bless now as we open the Word of God. I pray that everyone here would understand what's said from the youngest to the oldest. We ask in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. I have a friend. I'm going to be going up to Salt Lake City next month to preach. I will not be missing a Sunday, but I'll miss a Wednesday. A friend that sells cars, and he is an honest car salesman. They're few and far between, But this fellow is honest. He's a born-again Christian. He, way back in the 1990s, he got me to go with him to preach in nursing homes in Salt Lake City. And that's just when I was breaking my teeth in preaching and cutting my teeth, I should say. And I went to this one nursing home the very first time I preached in a nursing home. And the whole time I was preaching, a lady sat in the front row and spoke in German. That will sharpen your concentration if you try that for a while. If you've ever spoken, you understand how distracting it is when someone else is talking at the same time. But this man's name is Jim Allred, and I bought a car from him. It's the one sitting out there underneath the awning just outside the back doors there. And when I bought that car from him, I called him and I said, Jim, I need a car. And he said, I know where I can get you a car. It's a good car for a good price. We like that, amen? And by the way, it's paid off. Praise the Lord. That's the best kind of car. It's a paid-off car. I don't care how fast it goes. It's the question is there a payment? No. Praise the Lord. Good car. Let's have it, you know. And so he gave me a price for that car, and I thought to myself, it seems a little higher than I was hoping to pay, but probably worth that. And so I bought that car. And in the last 3 years, of course, it has depreciated. But anytime you buy something, you know what I'm talking about. Whether if I like to get a good deal, don't you? You know, you go to the store, milk's on sale. How about that? We need milk. Praise the Lord. You know, chicken's on sale. You know, we eat a lot of chicken. My children, when we were younger, thought that the word for meat was chicken because we ate chicken all the time. And because chicken was inexpensive. And when they've got pork loin on sale, that's what we buy. But I like to get a good deal. And I look and I see what they want for it. And I ask myself, what's it worth? Is that price fair for what it's worth? Now, let me just simplify that. I should have said it more simply already. Things are worth to you, things are worth what you're willing to pay for them. Simple illustration. Things are worth to you what you're willing to pay for them. To other people, things are worth what they're willing to pay for them. That's the principle of the stock market. What's a stock worth? Whatever somebody will pay for it right now. Tomorrow it might go up, it might go down, but right now it's worth what people will pay for it. And that's the principle behind this parable is, let's look at the man, first of all. This man is a merchant. Now, a merchant is a person who buys and sells, right? So think about the parable. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking in parable. A parable is a story which reflects real things in heaven. It's a worldly story that reflects heavenly things. Okay, so it's an example or a picture. It's like a painting. And the merchant man, the man in this parable, knows what things are worth, and he knows what to pay for something. He wouldn't pay too much. And this man in particular specializes in pearls, and he sees one pearl, and he says, that pearl is valuable. If I can possibly obtain that, I know it's worth more than I'll have to pay for it. Now remember that thought. So he gets every resource he's got, and he sells those resources, and he gets all that money, and he invests it in that one pearl. This is a man that can see the value of a thing. Hold that thought. Let's look at we've seen the man, let's look at his motive here. Now, why would he sell everything he has? And let's just make sure we understand what the Bible says here. It says, he sold all that he had and bought it. Why would he give this merchant, this man who knows what things are worth, why would he give everything he's got for this one pearl? Because he sees the value in it. He's not getting a bad deal. He's getting a good deal, and he knows it. And it's worth everything he has to buy this pearl. The man, the merchant who knows the value of things, the motive, the fact that this one pearl is so valuable that it is worth everything he owns. And so the manner, if you will, or what he does, he takes all that he has and he buys it. Now, what does this parable represent? We talked already about the fact that it refers to the kingdom of heaven. And I'm going to show you two things about this parable. The first one is how it applies to you and I. And then I'll show you how it applies in another way here in just a minute. But let me ask you a question. We just finished hearing a special about stepping into eternity and being with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we heard some other songs today that talked about going to heaven. And I like that song, "When We All Get to Heaven, What a Day of Rejoicing That Will Be." Amen? And I won't sing that for you because I don't sing all that well, but I remember those words. And it will be a great day. Amen? Amen. Now, what's going to get you there? Don't answer out loud. Just think with me for a minute. What's going to get you to heaven? What's going to get you to heaven? Well, first of all, what would keep you from heaven? Sin. There is a wicked, wicked, wicked philosophy today. I saw it again yesterday in the news. There are people that say, oh, you can sin all you want. Christ loves you anyway. Yes, he does love you anyway. But he did not die so you could continue in your sin. He died to save you from your sin. Amen. The Bible says, this is plain Bible here, our sins have separated us from God. In other words, if you and I would want to go to heaven, and who wouldn't? Who'd want to go to hell? If we would want to go to heaven, there is an obstacle. It is called the law. And the law is that which tells us what is sin and what is not sin. And when there is sin, it keeps us from God. Our sin separates us from God. Something has to take care of that sin. So how could we go to heaven? Someone says, well, if you got baptized, that would take away your sin. No. Read the Bible. I know a lot of people say that. A lot of people say a lot of things. But the Bible is very clear about that. You look at every single time, without exception in the Bible, every single time someone got baptized, first they trusted Christ as Savior. Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian, and he asked the question, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And they're traveling along and there's water there. It's not a cup of water, by the way, because baptism is not sprinkling. Baptism is immersion. It's a body of water. And Philip says to him, he says, if thou believest that Jesus is the Christ, and I'm paraphrasing that, then you can be baptized. Someone says, well, Pastor, I have an NIV. That verse isn't in there. You need to get a different Bible. Because that verse, I've studied the history of that verse. You go back to the time of Christ. That was in the book of Acts, by the way, which was written before 70 AD. And you read the church fathers from 100 AD, 200 AD, 300 AD. You look at the old manuscripts. You start looking at the later manuscripts in 700, 800, 900 AD, the Latin manuscripts, the early English language Bibles that came out in the 1400s, in the 1500s, in the 1600s from the King James Bible. That verse is in all of them until 1880, when two wicked men named Westcott and Hort took it out. Well, that's not my problem because I've got a Bible that's still in there. If you want to have a good Bible, make sure that verse is in there. Every single time somebody's saved in the Bible, it's salvation, it's faith first, baptism second. So, our faith is what saves us. The Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It's what you believe that saves you. It's believing what God promised in the Word of God. Amen. He promised. And when we believe that, the Bible says our faith is counted for righteousness. Ah, righteousness is the absence of sin, isn't it? So do you see, the thing that gets you and I access into heaven, the forgiveness of our sins, the payment in full is our faith. I think that's a precious thing. If somebody was to try to put a dollar figure on getting into heaven, let's say there was, and this is all pure fiction, but let's just say that there was a dollar figure. You had to have a certain amount of money and give that money in order to get into heaven. I hate to mention it, but there's actually a church that has taught that. That is wicked. God doesn't need your money. Men want your money, so they lie to you to get it, but God doesn't need your money. But if there was a dollar figure to get into heaven, what do you think it would be? 100, that's not enough. 1,000, that's not enough. 1,000,000, that's not enough as far as God's concerned. Because what you're really asking is, what's the Son of God worth? Because Jesus died to pay for your sins. Can you put a dollar figure on him? No. In fact, the Bible says this, what doth it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Do you know what your soul is worth by itself? The riches of the entire world. That's God's economy. Okay, stay with me. Pearl of great price. The man was willing to give all for it. So I'm going to bring this back around to something and ask you this question. You are saved by your faith. We all agree, amen? How much is your faith worth? What is the value of your faith? If you could take your faith, and again, this silly illustration, but do the best we can. If you could take your faith and set it on a table and have an appraiser come in and appraise your faith, what number would they put on it? You know what your faith is worth? Here's what your faith is worth, what you're willing to pay for it. Your faith is worth what you're willing to pay for it, just like anything else. So let me ask you the question, how much is your faith worth? What is the value? What would the appraiser, what value would he attach to your faith? And let me ask you some questions. What have you paid for it? Have you paid anything for your faith? I have Arizona is a funny place. The other day, we had a refrigerator in our garage that we've had for at least 10 years. It's about that tall. It worked, barely. It didn't have any shelves in it. It would make ice if you gave it enough time. And I didn't want the thing anymore. And I was watching the Goodyear website, and they said on the third Friday of every month, we're going to come around and get the trash that won't fit in your trash can. And the light bulb over my head went on, and I thought, get rid of that refrigerator, amen? And so I took that refrigerator. My wife was going to go for a walk, and she was going to help me take the refrigerator out to the curb because it's kind of heavy. And so she went for her walk, and I thought, I think I can do this by myself. And I picked the refrigerator up. It was about 8 o'clock at night, and I took the thing. I manhandled it out to the curb and dropped it down on the curb, and I went back in the house because the next morning they're going to come get the thing. She came back home about 8:20 or 8:30, and she said, well, let's move the refrigerator. And I thought to myself, how could you miss it? It's sitting on the curb. She said, no, it's gone. I said, no, it's sitting on the curb. And so she said, I guarantee you it's gone. I told Brother Mendez this story because I get the biggest kick out of it. People in Arizona apparently are watching anything you put out. They'll come get it. Who cares about trash pickup day? Just put it out there. It'll disappear. And then I thought, yeah, I've done that too, haven't I? I picked a couple of things up. I've got a grandfather clock I found on the curb. It cost me nothing. It cost me some money to fix it, but not too much. But if you come to my house, you'll see this grandfather clock. It chimes. It's pretty. It didn't cost me a thing. I wouldn't have paid much for it. In Arizona, apparently, somebody is willing to pick the free stuff up. But if I would have put a sign in that refrigerator that said $10, I bet you it stayed right there. They'd have stole it, one of the two. That refrigerator was not worth anything to them, but since it was free, they just took it. And praise the Lord, let them have it. Is your faith that cheap that you wouldn't give anything for it? Do you see what the long illustration comes down to? What are you willing to give for your faith? What are you willing to give up for your faith? I'm going to be quick. I've got some verses to go with this, so if we have time, we'll read a couple of them. But number one, your faith ought to be worth enough to you to give up your sin.
That's right. Amen.
Now, it's not quite that simple. You need to turn from your sin to receive Christ, but let's just leave it at that, because after we're saved, we can still sin, can't we? I want to ask you the question, are you willing to give up your sin for the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
What's your faith in Him worth? I pray and I plead with God, Lord, please bless this church. And I don't want anything in my life to come between God and His ability to bless this church. And I hope you feel the same way. Is your faith valuable enough that you're willing to give up your sin? It ought to be, amen? Now, I'm not imagining things here. Sin can be something people love. I have met people that have said, I will not give up my sin. But folks, the Lord Jesus Christ is more valuable than our sin. Amen? The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 29, if ye know that he is righteous, that's talking about Jesus, he is righteous. Amen? Ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. In other words, to know if you're born again, it should affect what you do. 1 John 3:7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Folks, what we do is a picture of our faith. Amen? Let's move on. I haven't got much time. Our faith should be valuable enough to us that we would give up our sin for it. It should be valuable enough to us that we would give the Lord our service. Let me read you a couple of verses. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Folks, the Lord expects for us to do things after we're saved. Say, Pastor, I want to do other things after I'm saved. Well, then I found out something. When I do what the Lord wants me to do, then he can turn around and bless me in ways that make me happier than I can make myself happy. Right. Folks, come out on visitation. Amen. Say, Pastor, it's hot. I know it's hot. Come out on visitation anyway.
That's right.
There's some people in our church that come out for visitation, and I'm not going to name who they are, but I'll tell you this. Physically, they are limited enough that I wonder how they do it. They can't walk so well. Their back doesn't work so good. Because of their age, they haven't got a lot of strength. And I think to myself, if those folks who literally are in pain when they go out and serve God, if they can do it, can't the rest of us? Let's keep it real simple. Is your faith valuable enough to you that you're willing to serve God? Amen? That's a price. When he saved us, he expects us to serve him. That's a price that he expects us to pay. Now, when I get to the end of this, you'll see why the price is more than worth it, but let's just keep going on. Number one, is your faith valuable enough to you that you're willing to give up your sin? And you know what I mean when I say your sin. Is your faith valuable enough to you that you're willing to serve God? And then thirdly, is your faith valuable enough that you're willing to give up your selfishness? Now, let me read you a passage from Mark chapter 10. And you wonder, what does that mean to give up our selfishness? So let me explain before I read the passage. Our plans for our life, our dreams, our goals, our aspirations, our pride, our possessions, our desires, the things that we want. You say, well, who would do that? Oh, I know 12, well, at least 11 men that did that. One of them's name was Peter. In Mark 10:28, Peter said to the Lord, he said, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Now, what does that mean? Remember, Peter and John and some others, they were fishermen. And they were on the side of the seashore and they were fishing. And they had their money invested in their nets and their boats and their equipment that they needed to fish. And that's how they made a living. In fact, there's some people that think John was rather wealthy, that perhaps John had many boats and people working for him. And Jesus said, follow me. And what did they do? They turned their back on all that and followed Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So, well, oh no, Pastor, what if they starve? They didn't.
Right.
Oh no, Pastor, what if their life is ruined? It wasn't.
Right.
Well, Pastor, what about all that work that they put into that? Well, what do you think God wanted? Amen? And maybe they left that work that they put into that, and God gave them something better. Oh, let's see what the Lord said about it. You might jot these verses down and read them later. Mark chapter 10:29, Jesus answered Peter and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. That was Sunday school lesson today. And in the world to come, eternal life. You believe that verse?
Amen.
Let me translate that for you. Just not translate it, but interpret it for you. If you give up something for the Lord, he can replace it with something better.
Amen.
Oh, good. I'll give things up and get a lot. Wrong motive.
That's right. Amen. That's good.
We give it up because we love the Lord. Amen?
Right.
And he'll take care of you. You ever wonder why, like in Utah, the pastor used to drive a really nice car. He had a pretty ordinary life, but he had a really nice car. He always loved cars, and God gave him a nice car. Say, so where'd that car come from? It came from God.
Amen.
I know a missionary to Iran, and he was living in Iran. He was a missionary. He spoke Farsi. There's someone here that speaks Farsi today. And he was a missionary, and a fellow in Iran told him, he said, if your God is so good, why do you drive such a bad car? And the missionary kind of absentmindedly said, well, you know, if God wanted to give me a nice car, he would. And so he just kind of let it go. And a couple of weeks later, somebody gave him a really nice car. And he went back to the man and said, see, I told you. You know, now I'm not telling you God's going to give you a really nice car, but I am telling you this, God can give you things, amen?
Amen.
When you give things up, God can give you things. The devil's going to tell you that that's not true, but folks, I believe the Bible. I don't believe the devil.
That's right, amen.
Anything, and I see people do this all the time. I'm so sad by it. I see people and their life is all about them. I want to be important. I want to be famous. I want to be well known. I want to be accomplished in some field. I want people to look at me as the expert. I want to be the best. I want to be the most important person in the room. I want to be looked up to. I want to be admired. I want to be rich. I want to be powerful. I want to be special. That is not giving up selfishness. That is hanging on to self. What if Jesus puts you in a place to where nobody cared who you were and you didn't really have a whole lot? He'd meet your needs and he'd take care of you, but what if he put you in a place where it was just really, really, really ordinary? Folks, if he put you there, that's good. Amen?
Amen.
And I got a verse for you. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Amen.
Now here's what you and I will say. I've said this, I regret it, but I've said to myself, oh no, what if God does that? You know what I'm really saying? Oh no, what if God does what he wants to? Oh no, what if God has his will? Folks, God's will is always best.
Amen.
Now here's the surprise ending. Got two endings that are surprises. Here's the first one. We saw the man, the merchant. He knew what things were worth. We saw the manner. The motive. He saw that something was very valuable. And so the manner was he gave everything for it. The picture for you and I is, for our faith in Christ, we should be willing to give everything for it.
Amen?
Amen?
Right.
I hope you believe me. That's what the Bible says. We should be willing to give up things because God can take care of us better than we can take care of ourselves. We should give up our sin because God is righteous. We should give up our selfishness because God is better for us than we are for ourselves. And we should give God our service because he deserves our service.
Right.
Now, why would a merchant buy anything? Because he knows it's worth more than he's paying for it. Do you hear me? Why would you and I give up anything for our faith? Well, we ought to love the Lord and trust the Lord, and that should be the end of the story. But let me tell you something. I don't care who you are. Somewhere in this room, I don't know who it is, somewhere in this room, there is the person who has paid the highest price for their faith. They have suffered more for their faith. They have served more for their faith. They have given up more self and more pride. And they have given up and they've suffered and they've paid and they've paid and they've paid for that faith. I want you to know something. You can never pay more than it's worth. Whoever it is in here that's given the most for their faith, you've suffered the most. You've paid the highest price. You've lost what you think lost the most. It's really not lost. If it's for Christ, it's gain. But you've lost the most. And you've given everything for that faith, and you think, I wonder if that was a good price to pay. Be a merchant. Understand something. Your faith is priceless.
That's right.
Amen. It's worth more than the whole world. If you had to walk away from the highest paying job, the most powerful position, the greatest amount of riches, forget a boat and some smelly fishnets. If you had to walk away from everything in the world in order to have faith in Christ, you got a good deal. Because when you step into eternity, you're going to find out something. The price you paid for your faith was a fraction of what it's worth.
Amen.
You got a good deal. That's why it would be a shame for someone to say, well, you know, I really don't want to do that. I don't want to pay that much for my faith. I just want to kind of be mediocre, and I want to kind of hang on to this and that, and I want to be important, and I don't want to give those things up. Your faith is worth more than that.
Amen.
Now, the other second surprise ending, you ready? This parable is not so much about your faith and my faith. This parable is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Because here's what happened. Here's what actually, literally, actually happened. Christ saw you. And he gave everything to purchase you. Good night. How can that be? The psalmist said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? That God even acknowledges our existence as a miracle, much less he would send his son to die for our sins. You see, those of us that have received Christ, we are that pearl of great price. And Jesus Christ is the merchant man that saw our worth and gave everything to redeem us. Now, this is a convicting statement to me. I hope it will be to you. If he's willing to pay that much for you and I, what should we be willing to give him in return? Amen? You know, Pastor, it's awful hard to go to church two or three times a week. I'm a busy fellow. I'm a busy man or a busy lady. Folks, going to church is nothing. Going to church is easy. Pastor, I'm just really, really too busy to go out and serve the Lord. I'm glad God wasn't too busy to send his son to die and pay for our sins. I'm glad he loved us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How much is your faith worth? Here's how much it's worth. It's worth what you're willing to pay for it. I'm not willing to give too much, someone said. Not a very high-priced faith. I hope our faith is valuable enough to us, we're willing to give what God asks us to give. He asks us to give up our sin, amen? He asks us to serve him. He gives us the privilege to serve him, is a better way to say it. And he asks us to give up ourselves and give it to him. In fact, the Bible says this, you are not your own, you're bought with a price. And there is a verse that rings in my ears. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And every one of us will receive the things done in this body. One day, we're going to stand before Jesus. He's going to look us in the eye. And he's going to say, what were you willing to pay for your faith? What were you willing to give for your faith in me? I hope we have the right answer. Amen?
Amen.
Let's all stand and pray.